This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Some years ago, Shōzō Sato brought the Japanese art of kabuki theater to the University of Illinois. Now the professor emeritus is taking a new direction, combining kabuki and another Japanese theater form to retell the Shakespearean tragedy Othello. Iago's plot opens in Urbana next month. Shōzō Sato joins us today on the Afternoon Magazine to talk about Japanese theater and his new production, Iago's Plot. You can join the conversation with a telephone call this afternoon. Your comments and questions are welcome. In Champaign-Urbana, join us with a call to this number, 333-9455. Anywhere else you're listening, you can call us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. Since the opening of the Krannert Center in 1969, Shōzō Sato translated, designed, and directed many kabuki plays and dances. Beginning in the late 1970s, he adapted, designed, and directed Western classics using kabuki conventions. The plays included kabuki interpretations of Macbeth, Faust, and Medea. Shōzō Sato's new production, Iago's Plot, based on Othello, runs March 1st through the 9th at the University of Illinois Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Again, if you'd like to join us, if you've got a question or a comment, 333-9455, that's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else you're listening, call us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. Shōzō Sato, good afternoon and welcome.
Ohayou gozaimasu. In Japanese theatrical term, good day.
The conventions of kabuki and no theater are combined in Iago's Plot. Would you outline for us the differences between these two styles of Japanese theater?
Most of Japanese aesthetics can be found in most enriched form of the art. It's called maximum art or minimal art. And kabuki is maximum art. In every element required to make theatrical experience, all that be made rich as possible. Colorations and intonations in the movement, the costume, makeup, wig, everything made is bigger than life, beautiful than life. And on the other hand, no drama is much more direct influence of Zen philosophy, where they strive for tranquility and simplicity, etc., etc. So they're reducing the theatrical experience into the minimal in material-wise, the elements. Mm-hmm. And yet, by going through that, the theatrical experience become even more stronger than maximum theater of kabuki. For example, maximum theater of kabuki was brought to you to enjoy and to be entertained. So audience will sit back drinking sake and a nice lunch box with sushi or whatever in it, and you're eating and enjoying that theatrical presentation. But in no drama, the audience experience is almost like attending church service. People sit up straight and fully trying to capture the information from stage, which is most refined manner and direction of abstraction of human emotion and its expression. Like haiku poetry, in a sense.
Very concentrated.
Yes, yes. Very much concentrated. Therefore, audience have to offer their willingness to appreciate that what they have presenting from the stage. And these two elements, which is appear to be opposing, and yet both very much into the ground of Japanese aesthetics. So I have been doing kabuki aspect in this university for 25 years. And so I said to myself, since I'm graduate from Yōbai teaching position, I will go on to the next step, which is adapting another aspect of theater, which is no drama. and see how far we can push this to be able to appreciate it by communities. As one can create it in authentic, no drama, but I think audience here is not ready to appreciate that kind of strict and, abstract form of dramatic art. So this is the first try to see if people can enjoy this form or not.
So in a way, we are in training.
Well, I am in training.
Is it unusual to combine the two styles? Would this ever be done in Japan?
I don't think so, because the two worlds are very, very, very different kind of artist. Their artisans is very different, separated, and often they're prohibited to cross. But being in the U.S., you have a little more freedom.
Have these types of theater in Japan, kabuki and no, have they evolved over time? Is there room for change within these styles of theater in Japan, or are things pretty much set the way they're supposed to be?
Yes. For example, no drama is across to 700 years, and then kabuki is nearly 400 years. And during that period, they kept the art in a pure, authentic manner as possible. And of course, there's a lot of offshoots and new creations, but all of these are within that categories. And so there's brand new kabuki written, brand new no dramas written, but still they're in that same traditional categories. And for that reason, they can appreciate pure form of no drama or pure form of kabuki, which is traditional arts of Japan, during next generations, next centuries to come. If we start tapped and changing the tradition, then we don't have tradition for the next generation to appreciate. So everything can be created new, but remaining in authentic mannerism, in a spirit. And so in my case, first traditional Japanese theater with Western classics, something that was exactly sort of unique from Japanese or from Western point of view too, that I was given that opportunity at the Kurano Center to create something exciting and something unique. And again, I can say this because I've been in the United States, and especially in academia world, that you have a little bit more freedom than stay in almost a feudalistic society of traditional arts of Japan. So for that, I'm very, very appreciative of giving the opportunity to try these unique creations.
And for those of us who have been fortunate to see these creations, we are very pleased.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to talk with you a little bit more, about no. I have read that no is similar to the Japanese tea ceremony.
Yes.
A book by, and perhaps you can help me with my pronunciation, Kunio Komparo?
Oh, Komparo.
Komparo. Mm-hmm. He writes, "The performer is like a tea master, the members of the audience like the guests. Mm-hmm. The two gather at the theater or tea room and share space and time through the medium of giving a play or serving tea."
Yes, exactly the case. So with kabuki, any performing art, we have to have audience. And that is the foundation of a performing arts for appreciations. But kabuki theater can be created respectable distance, such as audience can enjoy their beverage or food while they're observing the play. They're fully enjoying the presentation, but they have a space between to enjoy their palate as well. But in no drama, it's much more closer, much more grind together, performer and audience have to become able to become one to be able to appreciate that dramatic impact. So was in tea ceremony. If the guests have no background, training background of tea, the way of tea, and then what host offering cannot be appreciated in full capacity, such as the tea were made and then served to the host or guest. The guest was just enchanted by making manner of the bowl of tea, forgot to eat sweet. And so now, host has to say, well, please eat the sweet before you have tea. And then meanwhile, he's or her eating the sweet, the tea getting colder. You know, and then, so then audience have to have empathy to what's going on the stage, or the guests in the tea room have to have empathy to the host's actions. Mm. So they both come in right time, right moment to appreciate right atmosphere.
What difference is there for an actor in kabuki and an actor in no in terms of preparing for the performance?
As an artist of performing art or any art, I think the mental, physical concentration preparations are equally important. But one can say intensity can be slightly different in kabuki and no. There's such as I like to use this metaphor, the fine art to be the fire, the flame. And kabuki can be lower temperature of flame, like in the fireplace during wintertime. You throw the woods, and then they have a beautiful, entertaining shape, coloration of the flames going on for size of the fireplace. And that's, to me, the kabuki. That's authentically, it's fire. But in a no drama, intensity is much, much higher, as if it's almost like a welding torch. That intensity shooting, and therefore the flame is no longer orange or red color, but almost transparent blue or white. And even if you're trying to blow some air over, will not move by the other influence, but remain sharp in one direction. That kind of intensities will require for no drama. Since the no drama wear mask, and then the costume is to eliminate raw human body lines. So they're creating the character as a human being, but much more symbolically or more abstractly creating human nature or character. And therefore, audience have to be able to come forward to what actors or callers are trying to present and communicate with you. So in a sense, their communication in a level of telepathy rather than just big cheese smile face of facial communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of refineness or intensities in height.
Mm.
And because of that, audience have to open up their antennas in wide fully and to trying to capture all this telepathy was sent out from the stage.
Mm.
Of course, in Crown Center, we're not able to do that because the student or the audience is not ready for this kind of intense theatrical experience. But this is the first try. So what we're trying to do is common human expression, daily expressions we use, such as one can say, I have a headache.
Mm-hmm.
And probably according to weather and dates, we repeat, I have a headache, the word, that statement, many times in a day. But depend on who you are speaking to, under the what condition you may be in, that word, that statement, have different meanings and a different coloration in a voice and mannerism. But yet the word, I have a headache, remain the same. I think we find this kind of activities over and over in our daily lives. And so for that, we have used visual image of rondo, the circular form, repeating the same beat or the melodies from Western dance form as well as a Zen circle, beginning to end, continuous one brush stroke of perfect circles and such. As well as another Buddhist point of view of birth to death to another life. And this reincarnation and constant repeat of this circular form, such as 24 hours a day and months and years. And that image, as well as the concept presented in on the stage. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Is that why on the playbill, on the poster, there is this...
The circle, yes.
The circle.
Zen circle, yes.
That is... Well, we see the actor, but he is somewhat hidden
behind
this
yes.
Circle.
So the human figures are hidden behind the circle. Circle is something that we human beings cannot control over, which is such as the destiny, the karma, that someone above us have already set the life for you. And that is also become part of a theme of our production.
And as Iago sets something in motion,
exactly.
Everyone is caught up in it.
Exactly.
He is the demon of the story.
Exactly.
Yeah. The dialogue then in this production, it has to be somewhat concentrated.
Very much concentrated, yes. And all the dialogues are written in the manner of haiku poetry, 5-7-5 syllables, which is very much concentrated and yet refined in abstracted form. So nearly 2 hour long presentations, we have only 20 pages of the script. And each line is very minimal. And many of them are repeated. So we're demanding performers to be able to enrich this simple statement in many different mood, many different effect, which almost any performing artist, for them, this idea is unique. Because especially in Western theater from Shakespeare on, the word script was very important because it describes one's sentiment to the conditions, the periods, history, everything stated in maximum richness. But in no drama or in this Iago's plot, that has been condensed to the minimal. And then the actor have to use their intonation and their physical body language to inform or fulfill or finish the unfinished sentence, in a sense. So that's totally unique experience, especially for young actors and actresses.
Is movement concentrated? Is it slowed down?
Yes, slow down, which takes more time, and that become another plane of a theatrical pleasure. We do not recognize the realistic concept of the pace moving on. Because we're in the theater, why not we enjoy another beat, another pace, another atmosphere? Because this is a created moment.
Another space and time. And
exactly.
You mentioned masks, I think.
Yes.
There are masks and not makeup?
They do wear makeup, highly exaggerated makeup, direct influence of Kabuki theater. And in a Kabuki theater, the warm color, such as red, is usually the sign of justice in a character. If one wear blue color makeup, he's the evil character. And if it's brown color lines, makeup is to be the spirit of insects and other animals and such. Mm-hmm. So they have a very definite vocabulary to identify characters mm-hmm. in the colors and the motive of the patterns in the kimonos and such. Mm. So we incorporate that concept. We have masks, but that's very brief for so-called mask ball sequence. Therefore, the mask is not so important in this Iago's plot as takes place importance in the no drama.
Mm-hmm.
And the costume, too, no longer the Japanese characters. In our previous so-called Illinois Kabuki, Kabuki Macbeth, Madea, Othello, Faust, everything done in Japanese character manner, makeup to the costume, they look authentically Japanese of the period plays. But they spoke English, and then story is based on Western classic, so that was a very interesting combination. But this time, the characters are not Japanese characters, not American, not British. It's a human being.
Uh-huh, universal.
Universal. Character. And so with the costume design, too, the concept is not Victorians, not Elizabethan, or not Edo period of Japan, and uniquely gathered these theatrical atmospheres for individual character to create that unique costume. However, those fabrics all came from Tokyo. I had a great pleasure of going to this golden brocade specialist. Literally hundreds of samples of rich gold brocades. And then roll out, and yes, this color and that color, and this combinations of the patterns and such. And therefore, the costume is really spectacularly rich.
Again, and concentrated.
Yes. Yeah. But no stage sets are required on this play, like no drama. So that outdoor, indoors, all up to audience imaginative world.
Mm-hmm. We're required to take part.
Yes.
I'm curious, Iago has got to wear a lot of blue on his face because that is letting us know that he's no good. But others in the story, this is the story of Othello, albeit with a very different kind of treatment, but the king, how is his makeup? How did you decide what to give that character in terms of how he would look, because he gets caught up in Iago's whisperings.
Right.
And it all comes to a very bad end, of course, but he's sort of caught. So does he have a little blue makeup, a little red makeup?
In past, our kabuki Othello production, we made him Caucasian, but all other characters are Japanese character. So it's a reverse. And so in Japan, we do have a small minority group of Caucasian in northern island place called Hokkaido. They are the sort of Russian Caucasian background. And so we made the Othello as a Caucasian. But in this case, we made him first in gold makeup. As all the audience knows very well, from opera to theater, usually Othello was reserved for African heritage actors.
Mm-hmm.
And if the white Caucasians take that part, take away the part, and that creates quite a bit of controversy. And even though this is newly created manner, I was aware of that so-called tradition of mm-hmm. West. And so instead of having dark, beautiful chocolate color skin, made him in gold, enhancing that rich color into the gold. And then we were not very successful because the gold metallic paint makeup reflect light so much. Oh. We cannot see the facial expression well. So we gave a little bit of antique patina on gold. Uh-huh. And so now he become green face.
Green face.
So this, again, that's symbolically fit to the Western aesthetic. The green color has certain image in this country too.
Hmm. We're talking this afternoon with University of Illinois Professor Emeritus Shozo Sato. This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Iago's Plot opens in Urbana next month on March 1st and runs through the 9th. And we're talking this afternoon about Iago's Plot and also the Japanese theater forms of kabuki and no. If you'd like to talk with us this afternoon, you're more than welcome. Give us a call, 333-9455. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else you're listening, you can call us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. If I might ask you some personal questions.
Yes.
How did you come to the U.S.?
Oh, that is... long story short, it's Buddha's or God's wishes. I was working on a book called Art While Engine Flowers, the very first publications I was working on. And Harry N. Abrams, publisher in New York, the very famous art book publisher, was interested. And then asked me to come to U.S. in New York for these 6 months to edit and then adding more pages to make most comprehensive book of that categories. And with this invitation, they requested I be there for 6 months at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running small art school in Japan. And so, absent from my own school for 6 months is a little difficult situation. And at that time, the head of the dance department of U of I was Professor Margaret Erlinger. And she had a Fulbright scholarship to do the research of multiple practice of arts in Japan by one artist. And that's the unique aspect of Japanese artists. Not only one thing in depth, but they also practice many arts same times.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, she overheard of my existence. And she started visiting my school. And then after weeks of her personal research of how I communicate and how I conduct different subject of arts, and then after she returned, here come invitation. Would you be interested in coming to University of Illinois to do exactly same what you do in Japan, which many different traditional arts to introduce to this community? And so this invitation came simultaneously. And that's the reason I said, well, this is the God's wish, Buddha's wish. So I packed all the teaching materials of 5 tons and came with cargo ship.
5 tons?
Yes. Because I know I'll be using all these teaching materials, which is very hard to purchase during those days, you know, some 35 years ago. And so I prepared to be here for a long period and for the mission of introducing Japanese art and culture. Instead of being here as a student and then eventually trying to develop some teaching courses and such. So I have prepared from the very beginning to do what I'm supposed to do well.
In that cargo ship, what kinds of things did you bring with you? What were some of the items in
well,
the 5 tons?
Well, the tea ceremony equipment.
Oh, okay.
And they're very fragile and important. And so individually have to pack well. as well as the flower arrangement equipment, and those are ceramics and the bronze, casted bronze, all this heavy as well as fragile things. And then kabuki costumes, and then numerous books I need for the research in the future. And all these, when packed together, become 5 tons. I was surprised too.
When you began here at the University of Illinois, what kinds of things did you think about in terms of how you would develop your lessons for American students?
Well, first, I was more likely artist in residence. I don't have to have classes, but just by the request of individual instructors in individual classes or organizations such as student unions, international fairs. There used to be, we had a wonderful international fair by the end of the year before Christmas. And all these student organizations and such request my lecture demonstration. So wherever in the campus, I take the equipment and demonstrate the Japanese art and crafts. And that days, that started from 1964, and by the time I'm sort of settled and then able to start express myself in English, I'm still not perfect in my English conversations, but during those days I stumbled quite often. But my job was to demonstrate rather than giving theories and such. So I was able to conduct my work. And late 60s to the beginning of 70s, as you know very well, in this campus, was exciting political situation took place, and mainly this glorious hippie cultures. And obviously they're very much interested in sort of spiritualities of Japanese art and culture.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately they become as one of the strongest audience for my activities. And with their voice, the university decided to create course on the Japanese traditional arts, not in Asian studies, but in School of Art and Design. I think this is one of the unique aspects of Yobai, Japanese art practice, not in Asian studies. And from that day on, we tried to promote understanding of Japanese culture through arts. And as you mentioned, 1969, when Crown Center opened, I was assigned as an artist in residence, not only in visual art or tea ceremony, but in performing art as well, to introduce aesthetics and culture of Japan to incorporate general public.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been my greatest pleasure. But at the beginning, obviously, not too many people know what is the tea ceremony. And the classroom they have given me was an oil painting studio. And in there, I bring out a piece of cloth laid out on the floor and sit there on highly potent smell of the those oil paints.
Yeah.
And then those paints all over floors, and in that condition trying to speak of spirituality of a tea ceremony, it wasn't exactly proper place. So I redecorated my apartment, duplex of those days, into Japanese style, started having the classroom in my own apartment. Was very much appreciated by the students' body because totally different kind of atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And with this foundation, eventually university recognized we need a special space. Then came about a Japan House at the corner of Lincoln and California, right next to the Kurana Center. But of course, Japan House, the house itself belonged to university, but majority of interior redecorating into traditional Japanese rooms came out of my pocket. Out of minimum payment, as
right.
You know, the universities,
faculty salaries.
So it took 2 years to complete. Of course, the university did help us to rewire to up to the codes and this and that. They have given tremendous financial aids, but not redecorating part, because that's is purely my personal desire. So later on, when Japan House was created, the Korean student bodies and Chinese student bodies say, why Japan House? Why can't we have Korea House? Why not Chinese House? And then university officials simply explained that it's Professor Sato's personal fund. We associate it, but he is the one doing it. If your professor is willing to do, we'll also assist. And that was very clear answer. And so that's how I start create my own proper atmosphere for teaching the art in proper conditions. And that has been very, very successfully accepted by the general public and the student. And we're hoping expanding this to the new Japan House. And we are right now seeking for funding from general public. And from Japan, we have already received over $100,000 cash donations.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
You took University of Illinois students in kabuki drama.
Yes.
On tour.
Yes.
And you went to Japan.
Yes. The first Blue Eye Kabuki homecoming performance.
What was the reaction of the audiences in Japan?
Well, obviously, our students performed Greek tragedy. This time not Medea, but Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
And so the story itself is unique to Japanese kabuki audience, but the visually done in authentic kabuki style. So they were thrilled to see visual kabuki, but brand new story of a Greek ancient plot. But of course done in English. And so I have to do the simultaneous translation by having the headsets for all the audience and such. And eventually, the Japanese public, especially the big producing corporation of kabuki in Japan, recognized, yes, indeed, this is new form of kabuki. And they have granted with wonderful awards and such.
Mm-hmm.
But the most interesting part to me, the audience and also news medias, the followers, as if we were sort of Michael Jackson or somebody, you know, this is really very, very special guest from U.S. And so they follow us, TV and newspaper, always. And then one time we were invited to the tea house because they heard the students are capable to do tea ceremony. So here, the beautiful tea rooms and tea equipment, and our students not hesitated because they all practiced tea ceremony at the Japan House. That thing is so nice about here. The kabuki students studied tea ceremony, flower arrangement, blocking, painting. So they have great background of culture of Japan rather than only acting. So here come, they're doing the tea ceremony in flawless manner. And so Japanese media was totally flabbergasted. Not even Japanese student in Japan not capable to do kabuki and the tea ceremony simultaneously.
Mm.
So that kind of in-depth understanding and appreciation of Japanese arts by the young American student from Mitsubishi Cornfield, if I may use this expression, not in New York City or not in San Francisco. That seems to be a little bit more reasonable. But in Midwest here, in Champaign-Urbana, the students were exposed to this depth of Japanese art and culture.
Was there a coming together when the students were there in Japan with the American students from the University of Illinois and people, kabuki actors, kabuki teachers?
Mm-hmm.
What happened when these two groups of people came together? What did they...
Oh, they had mutual admirations.
Yeah. Well,
that was a wonderful sight to see. That was already experienced when we had a performance of Kabuki Madia at Kennedy Center one summer. And this production was presented through Wisdom Bridge Theater in Chicago. But most, 99% of actors were graduates from University of Illinois Theater Department, and who have already taken part in previous Kabuki productions at Kurano Centers. So we call Kabuki kids. And we have lots of Kabuki kids in Chicago. And so when we have so-called commercial theater productions, they all reunited and then they go through. So it was wonderful. That production was presented in Kennedy Center. And same time in Opera House, the main stage, the Grand Kabuki company from Japan. And so the two Kabuki, one American Kabuki with Shakespeare plot, or mm-hmm. Greek tragedy plot, and then done in English, but purely Kabuki visual effect. And then another theater of Kennedy Center is done by Japanese professional Kabuki actors of traditional Kabuki plays. And so our company goes to see them. Their company comes to see them. The staff of costume, dressers, and all these people start exchanging the information. And then in an afternoon, when they have good weather, they all go out and play softballs. And, mm-hmm. and those are the wonderful reunions. And just they are Kabuki actors of East and West.
What did the Kabuki actors of the West, did the Kabuki actors of the East learn from the Kabuki actors of the West? And what did that happen?
Yes. I'm sure it happens many things. But when my teacher, the Nakamura Kanzaburo the 17th, came to Kennedy Center some years ago, and then obviously we were there and then observing and studying under him too. But by demonstrating with his request some of our practice Kabuki piece to the professional actors happened to be there also playing the same play in Kennedy Center. That's a unique coincidence. And then my teacher, which is head of Kabuki Society, said, look, the American young students carrying the authentic and pure spirit of Kabuki and defining in their way. I mean, we have readjusted some of the movement and gesture which much more fitting to American audience taste, such as counting numbers with fingers. Usually in America, you start open from the thumb, mm-hmm. first finger and the middle fingers, like a 1, 2, 3. But in Japan, we fold from open hand, fold the thumb, first finger, and the middle finger inward. And that's a totally reverse movement. And so we applied American common movement of opening thumb, first finger, and mm-hmm. this kind of counting method. And then my teacher said, that is the true spirit. That's how we should be able to adapt the regional mannerism, and that creates better understanding, appreciation by the audience. And by changing this small movement of the fingers, really does not change in aesthetics.
Yeah.
And this way, and so while they were performing in the United States, they have adapted Illinois Kabuki mannerism.
Amazing.
This is one uh-huh. example, but you know, many, many places. So that was a wonderful, rewarding experience yeah. for us.
We're here at the end of our time. I did want to ask you one more question. Iago's plot has been performed in Germany.
Yes.
And in Egypt.
Yes.
Very different places. What kind of reaction did the production get?
Well, at first, this was created at the Towson State University in Baltimore. And then Baltimore Sun newspaper have recognized our production at 2000 as the best production of the year. in the critics. And then with that, we were invited to the Cairo International Experimental Theater Festival. And we were the only student bodies. They're all professional companies of 43 countries, 48 production competitions. And then because of the different categories, the student from 1,000 states, I was given Best Director's Award in this competition. And then with that international scene, the German National Theater director, Mr. Bieritz, happened to be in audience, saw it, and so with that they have invited me to reproduce Iago's plot in National Theater, Weimar, and where the Goethe was the first director and first opened his Faust and such, and historically very important theater. And it's become their repertory from this season, and so it's still going on throughout this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Let me just mention that Iago's Plot opens at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts on Saturday, March 1st. Then there are performances Thursday through Saturday, March 6th through 8th, and Sunday, March 2nd, and Sunday, March 9th. And that performance is at 3 p.m. Saturday, March 1st, the performance is at 8 p.m. Iago's Plot. Shozo Sato, thank you so much for talking with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.